Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. What a great segment we had earlier. Our second segment, as usual, is heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7, and Paul, we are heard all on the World Wide Web.
That's right. We certainly are at 1510wwbc.com all around the world.
And our friend Suzanne Taylor is here. She is also an attorney, and she's here to chat about the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast. So, Suzanne, take it away. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the League of Women Voters.
Thank you, Sita. I've been with the League of Women Voters for about a year and a half now, and I'm actually the president now.
Oh.
I jumped right in.
That's awesome.
I think everyone has a COVID story. Our COVID story with the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast is that we had a number of really wonderful members who did like every organization has core members that do like everything. And we had a number of them, and we had a number of people move out of the state of Florida, or Brevard County, at least one. One passed away, we just had a lot of people that did a lot of work left. And I came just at the right time, and I don't know how to say no. So I ended up as the president, but I'm glad that I did. I'm enjoying it a lot. The reason I joined the League of Women Voters mainly was because I think that the world, Florida specifically, but the United States has gotten way too partisan. And it just frustrates me that everybody takes one extreme or the other and nothing gets solved. Nothing gets solved in those extremes. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization. It's local, statewide, and countrywide. We're a nonpartisan organization. We don't take positions about individual candidates and recommend any individual candidates, but we focus on helping people get registered to vote, learn what they need to vote, make their vote count.
All about the vote.
All about the
and
vote.
And issues. And
the
you,
vote.
We talk
and we
about
do
issues.
Take positions on issues that relate to fairness and democracy, basically.
It's all about equality, right? Yes. Everybody wants to be appreciated while on this planet. And how do you get to that point? By giving everybody the same opportunity, education, and putting yourself in their shoes sometime, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Ali, have you heard of the League of Women Voters? Are you part of it? Or do you know anyone who's been a member?
I'm part of it every time it's time to vote. Mm-hmm. Because I'm using it, particularly if there are new bills or new amendments or these verbiage-filled things that you're not sure if no means yes and yes means no and that sort of thing. And
I trust, simplify it.
Yes. And so League of Women Voters does a great job with simplifying that and making it understandable so that I feel more confident with
What I like about them is that they'll take like a bill from Tallahassee here in Florida and condense it into like two paragraphs, and they give you what you need to just have the information in your head to vote.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I was never good with the double negatives.
Yeah.
You know,
very, very
confusing. So that's where I always used the League of Women Voters. Right. I got introduced with Joe Shim on the show.
On the show, that's right, Joe Shim. So Suzanne, let's go, for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, let's go over the ways people can vote. And I know that the League talks about three ways to vote. So tell our listeners about the main three ways to vote.
Well, there are three ways to vote in Brevard County and in Florida. The first way is to request a mail-in ballot. It used to be, I know when I was a new voter when I was 18, and that was a really long time ago. I'm in a different state too, but it used to be that you could only get a mail-in ballot if you were hospitalized or you were in the Army and you were out of the country. It's not like that anymore. Anyone can request a mail-in ballot. There is a deadline. I think it's August 13th. I think it's 10 days before the actual election on the 23rd that you can request by mail a mail-in ballot. And the supervisor of election will mail it to you. You can walk into their office up to the date of the actual election day on August 23rd, the primary election day, and request a mail-in ballot. You wouldn't be able to mail it in. You would have to hand it in. But that is one way, and anyone can do that. Anyone can request it. The new law that came into place last year did require that you have to request that every single, I believe it's either year or every single voting cycle, which is a two-year voting cycle, right? We haven't had to do that yet because there was a grandfather period, but starting in January, if you have gotten a mail-in ballot and you want to keep getting it, you do need to specifically request it beginning in January. So that's the first way. The second way is early voting, which is going on, as you said, right now until the 20th of August, which is this coming Saturday. There are 10 early voting location sites throughout Brevard County. They're not the same thing as the voter precinct on your voter registration card. There are only 10 throughout the county, and they're in major community centers, so they're not hidden. They're very easy to find. In fact, the one I voted at here in Cocoa, there's a gigantic sign on the road saying, if you want to vote, turn left now. So you can't miss it, which is wonderful because, you know, you get distracted when you're driving by lots of other things. So you can't miss it. And the third way, of course, is voting on Election Day, which is the way you used to only be able to vote on Election Day. And thank goodness that we have made the changes to allow more people
to
vote.
We've made strides.
If you can't vote, if you happen to have some emergency happen or you can't get out of work that day, then you couldn't vote, and that's just really not fair. So it's wonderful that we've expanded it by mail-in balloting and early balloting. And if I can address one other thing about that, and this is what I do. I think this is an awesome idea. I request a mail-in ballot. I get my mail-in ballot. It shows me everybody that's on there, all my choices, and I can think about it, and I can make my choices. But then I don't do that. I go and I early vote. And you can do it either way. There's no right or wrong answer. If you mail-in ballot and you actually mail it in or drop it in the box, you can look on the website of the Supervisor of Election, and it will tell you they received it.
Yeah,
it'll tell you when they opened it.
Yes.
It'll tell you when they counted it. So it's a wonderful system. That's votebrevard.org. But I like to go in person because especially in the last big election, there was a lot of talk about some votes that were counted right away and some votes that were counted later, and different states do it different ways. Some states aren't allowed to open the ballots at all until actual election day. Others can do it earlier. But if you can't open them till election day and you're busy until like 10 p.m. on election day, then the mail-in ballots are going to be the last thing you count.
So you have to stay up really late to see if your candidate won.
Well, and the last major election, that didn't even help. I mean, I stayed up till like 3 a.m. and they still didn't know, of course. And that happens. We have a lot of really close elections anymore, especially at the local level, but all the way up to president, of course, they're very contested elections, so every single vote really does count. But I like to vote in person. So you can take your mail-in ballot that you haven't filled out, and you can take it to the voting booth, in my case, early voting, or on election day, hand it in, they'll write cancel on it and print out another ballot for you where you can vote in person right then and there.
Yeah.
So you didn't lose your opportunity to vote in person by requesting a mail-in ballot. It's just a backup plan.
Right.
It's awesome to have a plan and a backup plan.
With COVID and everything, sure.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, I did the exact same thing. And I want to make sure that people know that there's a really cool website called Be Ready to Vote. It's an official voter service initiative by the League of Women Voters of the Florida Education Fund. And it says those exact things that you had. It's part of the League of Women Voters website. You just have to click on, and it says ways to vote, register to vote, and you can also check your voter status.
Yeah, I think
today's a good day to do that.
It's wonderful. So, you know, a lot of us wait to listen and watch the candidate forums. And the League of Women Voters partnered with the Florida Today, and you have the candidate forums for county commissioner and school board races. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how do we decide on who to vote for? Now, I did notice that, I'm not sure, did you not have the congressional candidates on there, or are you waiting for later on to have them? Or was it just people who are primaried?
It's a decision that we made with consultation with the Florida Today about how much we could handle. I mean, the candidate forums we did, there were five of them. There were mm-hmm. three school board races, and there are two county commission races. So that took a lot of effort to make that happen. The time period was kind of short. There are a lot of elections we could have done, but we chose not to do. And actually, I think Florida Today did some other candidate forums that we were not involved in because some of them, like United States Representative, one of the people running, is a member of the League of Women Voters. So we did not want to touch
that
at all.
So that's a conflict of interest.
We felt it was a conflict of interest, and we just stayed apart mm-hmm. from that. But I believe that Florida Today talked about. And Florida Today, they're a little different. We're nonpartisan. We don't choose candidates. And in fact, one of the candidate forums, there were two people running, and one person didn't show up. So at the last minute, you know, we backed out of that, and that's simply Florida Today. We're not involved in that one at all. The others, where more than one person showed up, then obviously we can be involved in those. So part of it was timing. Part of it was, you know, that issue. We do plan to do more with the Florida Today after the primary election, and we see what happens. Because, for example, some candidate races have more than two people involved, so there may be a runoff election. So once we see what happens on after August 23rd primary, then we're going to do some more with the Florida Today and hopefully more on our own. In addition to the Florida Today candidate forums that we did, we participated in one up in Titusville on July 25th that was simply a judges forum. So there, all the judges' races that were happening, we sent a member who's also an attorney, and she asked questions of, I think it was the county court judges, was the part that she took place.
Yeah.
Took part
in. And how difficult is it, Suzanne, to arrange these forums? And, I mean, we're just coming out of COVID where people are beginning to feel comfortable to come in person. How difficult it is, the logistics, to get the candidate, get all the information out. You have to put it on your website. And it must be kind of frustrating, too, when people don't show up to listen to the forums, too.
Yes, we had a couple of people that simply didn't show up. And thank goodness I kept all my emails. I never throw anything away, including emails, but to show that we made the effort for all people, all of the candidates, in the same way to try to get everybody 100% participation. It was a lot of emailing and a lot of just going back and forth. Florida Today, and they partnered with Eastern Florida State College for their actual taping. They did the lion's share of it. We did the more of the preparation and helping with questions and arranging everybody, and then we turned them over to Florida Today, and they handled all the technical stuff. And John Torres was the person who asked the questions of all the candidates in those forums. Those were done virtually. And the one that I mentioned that was a judge's forum, that was done in person. I've seen some other forums that have been done in person. I've seen some that have been done virtually. Right now, I mean, there's such a benefit to virtual, some benefits to virtual in that you can, they're easier to arrange than finding a venue, arranging with everybody, making sure everybody drives there on time, then worrying that COVID's going to break out and do you still keep the forum or do you cancel it? So there is a benefit to doing it virtually, and we could get more of them done that way. So I think we'll continue to do some. The last, it wasn't the 2020 election, but in 2021, there was an election in Cape Canaveral, and we did a virtual candidate forum for that.
And you and you have one coming up in October.
We have some. We don't have any planned just yet. Okay. We're going to wait and see. We have general ideas of what we want to do, but we want to see how the primary election goes on August 23rd, and then we'll make a decision about how many we can do.
Right.
And I just want to talk about one of my other favorite things that's on the League of Women Voters website, which is there's a citizens toolkit option. And if you use that drop down, you can hit the box that says elected officials. And this little trifold pamphlet that I've always gotten, I usually get them at the libraries. And I believe this year you can also find them in Brevard County libraries, government offices, and some other locations throughout the county. You can get those, or you can actually mail in something. I wouldn't trust that right now to think that you're going to get it in 7 days. But nonetheless, that is a fantastic flyer that talks about the directory of elected officials, so you know exactly who's running. You can look up their website, see what they stand for, and again, make your own intelligent decisions based on what you feel.
Right.
Right. And of course, that does not talk about their positions on issues or anything, but it gives their information, gives you their salary.
What they do, what they're running for.
Where to reach them by every, email, phone number, snail mail, all that kind of stuff. So, and you have an idea of who these people are. It's wonderful, and we have tons of them, so everybody who wants one should ask for them. We printed so many, and then COVID hit.
Yeah, I had one delivered. I had one mailed to me. So, Suzanne, on that same website, there's a drop-down box for people who want to become volunteers and want to become part of the league. It's a nonpartisan league. So tell our listeners a little bit about membership and why people should join the league. I mean, I've been telling people about it, so I'd like to see more people join here in Brevard.
Yes, I would love to see more people join in Brevard, too. We always have new members, but our membership does fluctuate. But there's so much to do. There really is. I'm currently also the Voter Services Committee Chair, in addition to being the president right now. There's so much that we're trying to do. Of course, we're not able to, we can register people to vote now for the general election, but you can't register now. If you're not registered right now, you can't vote in the primary on August 23rd, but you can register now to vote in the general election. So once the primary is done, and our focus is on helping people get to the polls, finding, if anyone's having trouble with either with their ballot or with a way to get to the polls, solving those problems so that everybody who wants to vote can vote. And then we'll switch back to registering people as something that we do all the time. We go out in the community at events. We try to figure out different places that we can go where people might not be registered to vote and try to get them registered. In addition, we spend a lot of time just talking with people about how to vote. Like, people that come to Brevard County from out of state, you know, things were different in their state. And, well, can I do this here? And we say, you know, have to tell them no, or help them figure out what they need to do to change to get themselves registered. And there are a lot of other details, like if your signature changes, for example, you need to file a document with the supervisor of elections so that your current signature is on their records. And there's a lot more. If you change your address, you have to file a document, et cetera. So we do a lot of talking with people about how to deal with those issues, as well as simply letting people know. I mean, it's surprising to me because, I mean, I kind of live and breathe elections being with the league. But even before I was with the league, I mean, I was aware of the elections that were happening. We come across a lot of people who don't even know that there's a major election coming. I mean, they're all major elections, really. But it's people that just really aren't aware that there's an election.
Yeah,
you
so
have
they
to
need
really
the
actively.
Education.
Yeah, they
yes.
absolutely do. So we come across a lot of people like that and try to engage them in a conversation. We had an event in July, and I think it was four different ladies came up to our League of Women Voters volunteers and said, "Oh, I don't deal with elections. I let my husband handle that." And it floored me. I mean, I wouldn't let my husband handle anything for me personally. I'm an independent person, and you know, we don't always agree on everything. So absolutely, I would never let my husband decide who I was going to vote for. But so it floored me that there were still people that really felt that
really,
way.
Really? So no, that's a real old-fashioned view, right?
It is.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with the president of the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast. Her name is Suzanne Taylor. She's an attorney. She's a full-time job, and she also volunteers as being the president for the League of Women Voters. So, you know, many times we speak with people, and oftentimes they would say, "Oh, it's not safe to vote anymore," and they're concerned about their vote. Is it secure? If they vote by mail, will it be counted? If they go in person, will it be counted? People are really worried about their vote because of all the rhetoric we've had about election security. What's the position of the league to calm people's nerves?
Well, the position of certainly the Space Coast League, but I think all levels of the league, are that the supervisors of elections are professionals. This is what they do for a living, is they make sure elections are secure and people get to vote. But in particular, we're very lucky in Brevard County because Lori Scott, our supervisor of elections, is extremely good. I mean,
she's the best.
There have been some recent concerns expressed in the media that you might have seen, specifically in the newspapers, that there's a group that is inundating her office with onerous requests and then not paying the bill when they're doing the research and getting the information, which is a lot of information that is being requested, detailed information. And her office is providing it, and they're not even paying the bills, and then wanting her to do more onerous research. But she's complying with all that, and there's no credible evidence whatsoever that there's any widespread voter fraud in anywhere in the country, but specifically within the state of Florida. In fact, at the last major election, both the president at the time and the governor praised Florida for how well we did. So any concerns that anyone might have that their election won't count, or that there's some kind of fraud going on, it's simply, there's no evidence of it. There's no evidence of it. You said it right. I'm an attorney, so I live my life by evidence. You show me evidence, yeah, I will pay attention and I will follow the evidence.
It's amazing, evidence, Suzanne, how misinformation and disinformation spreads and scares the heck out of people, right?
Exactly.
It's like, it takes over and it grows 10 feet and legs and arms. And before you know it, everybody is talking about something that never really happened.
I don't understand why it feels all of a sudden all of us, that so many people are duped by believing so much of this ridiculous stuff.
The claims
out there. Yes,
that
the
elections was
and
not safe. Yes,
and they're just claims.
They're just
claims.
I don't understand. I don't get it. Why everybody just jumps on the bandwagon for, yep, they messed up, they did terrible things. They did. It was like, wait.
And they lie. And they put pictures of a bag full of ballots, like maybe they just put it in their own home and put it up. You know, and people believe it.
Yeah.
So there are many ways to get to the polls. And you mentioned earlier that people can call a phone number if they wanted a ride. What other ways do we have for people to get to the polls? And I mean, they need to make a plan to vote because it could be raining on election day and you can't leave your home. People, the elderly, they're scared of falling. People are scared if they would they have their medication, if they have to line up. You know, there are really real fears, like things, personal things like that. But what other ways can people get to the polls?
Well, we're still trying to we're spending quite a bit of time trying to find different ways that people can get to the polls. I believe in this. I haven't double checked this, but I believe each of the major political parties does provide help for people to get to the polls, you know, for people who are voting under their persuasion. So we don't address that. But certainly if you're a member of a party and you're having trouble getting to a vote, that is one avenue I would suggest that you try. But there are others. Specifically, I wanted to give a shout out to the Pushback Community Alliance, which is based in like Palm Bay area. And they're providing rides to the polls for people on Election Day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And they're covering areas from the Pineda Causeway to the south boundary of the city limits of Palm Bay. And they're providing rides to anybody. They're not based on a particular party. But there's some, two numbers that I was given that you can call and ask them for a ride if you're in that area that I just mentioned. And the two, they're both 321 numbers, and they are 693-2062 and 961-0456. At the end, I'll make sure I give contact information and anything
I
say.
You can do that now, and you can give the contact information, the website, and if there are any events coming up that the public can attend.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that, because I forgot to write that down on my notes here. But yes, the Supervisor of Elections website, again, has a wealth of information, and that is votebrevard.gov. The League of Women Voters of the Space Coast, our website is LWV, for League of Women Voters, -spacecoast.org, but the easiest way is just, that's a little hard to remember, just League of Women Voters Space Coast, and it'll pop right up. And we have a lot of information on our website as well, on the main page, and there's also a contact link on our website, all the tab all the way to the right, and a contact link, and you can ask any question you want to us by email, and we will get back to you and help you with that. So those are the two primary websites that I would give you for information. Upcoming events, we have a couple. One is we have a fundraiser at Painting with a Twist in downtown Melbourne on August 28th, which is a Sunday afternoon, and that's open to the public. And another event that we have coming up on September 10th, which is a Saturday afternoon, we're having an event called Rockets Away in Cape Canaveral at their community center. And it's a discussion. We have three people on a panel, and it's a discussion about the effect of the increase in space launches, the effect of that on our local environment, the environment itself, the cities, the roads, all of that, the impacts of that on us.
Yeah, what I love about the League is that it is nonpartisan. And I find myself, oftentimes I'll find myself correcting people because they don't know it's nonpartisan. What else can we do to let the public know that this is not a Democratic-leaning organization or Republican, but we're in the middle? I mean, we're trying to educate people, but a lot of people still feel like, wait a minute, I've never heard of them. So what else can we do to help spread the word?
Well, I'm trying to do that here by appearing, and thank you for letting me be on the show. That's a big problem. It is a huge problem. The League, and I said it already, we stand for fairness and democracy, and that those things did not used to be a partisan issue. They shouldn't be a partisan issue. They're not a partisan issue, but people make those a partisan issue. So we've not changed at all. We've always been nonpartisan since 1920 when we started, when women were first getting the right to vote. That's how we began our organization. So I don't know other than to keep saying it. We try to demonstrate as many ways as we can that we are nonpartisan.
Really quickly, with the time we have left, what are some of the committees that someone who is probably retiring and has an hour to give a month, or maybe 2 hours a month, they can sign up? It's not that expensive to be a member. I am a member of the League, and I love it. I love just helping out and giving back. So what are some of the committees, really quick, that people can become a member of the League and join?
Well, first of all student memberships are free. So if you're a student, you can join for free. Our membership is $60 a year. That's really not that much. You get a lot out of that $60, and we do a lot with that $60. We do a lot of other things. Our two main things that we do are help people with registering to vote and voting, and also keeping an eye on local government. We try to attend as many of local government meetings as we can, the county commission, the charter review commission, all of those. There's a gigantic list that we have, and we try to view as many of those as we can and keep tabs on it to see if there's anything happening in the community to let people know. There was a big issue with the water quality in MIMS, fluoride in the water in MIMS a couple months ago, and it kind of like went under the radar, and we were there, and we certainly helped project that that was an issue and let people know so that they could comment if they want. We have lots of other committees. We have a sustainability committee, natural resources committee, education committee is a big one right now. We try to attend the school board meetings and keep people aware of what's going on with that.
Women's issues. We have diversity and things like
well,
that.
Well, we have a diversity, equity, and inclusion group. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. And I just
environmental
natural resources.
Stuff, yes.
Right.
And I think it's wonderful because so many people are retired and they do have a passion for those things and they can give back to the league. So as a member of the league, I'm asking my listeners to, if you have a couple of hours per week, per month, whatever, just sign up, be a member of the League of Women Voters of the Space Coast and join my friend Suzanne Taylor, who is the president, and do your thing. If you have any last minute things to say before we go off air, go for it.
I think we've covered just about everything I wanted to say. I do give a shout out that as much of time as you have to give us to help promote fairness and equality in elections in Brevard County in the state of Florida, we'll take all the time that you have. Some okay. people have more than others.
Okay.
Thank you.
Another fantastic show with Rodney Edwards, who is running for Brevard County Judge in District 4. And also with Suzanne Taylor from the League of Women Voters. Allie, thank you so much for being with us. Sita, fantastic getting all these fantastic guests for the show. Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're on each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510 WWBC.